We have a bunch of people who aren't here, but then we got a bunch of people who are, so that's great. We got a few ladies who did make it off to the women's retreat, and we pray, Scott, they're able to go, and we pray that they're having a wonderful time at the conference there entitled The Purse-Driven Life. So we hope that they'll have a wonderful time and be with us. Come back soon. But it's so nice up north right now. But it's going to get cold soon. We'll be back. I don't think there's anything else I need to touch on as far as announcements, so we're just going to jump right into the Word. If you want to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1, it'll also be up on the screen. We'll read through the first chapter. Now, I know at least one person out there has read the entire book of Hebrews this last week, as I asked you to be doing last week, that each week you would read the entire book, not just the section that I'm going to be preaching on the next week. And he said, I know why you want us to read it each week, because it's not easy. And it's not. This is meat. God, this isn't milk. This is difficult teaching in the book of Hebrews. It's theologically complex. I'm going to try to not make it more difficult and try to lay it out with God's anointing so that you all can be blessed by this word, which is so full of God's grace and mercy. So, Hebrews chapter 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, who He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He has provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So, He became as much superior to the angels as the name He has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, You are my Son, today I have become your Father. Or again, I will be His Father, and He will be my Son. And again, when God brings His firstborn into the world, He says, Let all God's angels worship Him. In speaking of the angels, He says, He makes His angels winds, His servants flames of fire. But about the Son, He says, Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of Your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, Your God, has set You above Your companions by anointing You with the oil of joy. He also says, In the beginning, O Lord, You laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of Your hands. They will perish, but You will remain. They will wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment they will be changed, but You remain the same, and Your eyes will never end. To which of the angels did God ever say, Sit at My right hand, and I will make Your enemies a footstool for Your feet. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Amen. I don't know as we're going to get through all of chapter 1 today. I was being ambitious when I said I was. But we're going to at least get through the first couple of verses. There's a lot here. Again, as I pointed out last week, when I introduced Hebrews, this letter doesn't start with like regular letters do. There is no introduction. It just dives right in. No, how y'all doing? This is me writing. It's, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets. Many times in various ways. How did God speak to our forefathers? Amazing. How did God speak to the forefathers? Different ways. He spoke in the quiet. He spoke in a burning bush, in dreams, visions, even a basket of fruit. Multitude of ways. God spoke. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, who He has appointed heir of all things. Wow. First off, he's talking about Jesus, or she. We're not, again, not sure who the writer is. But it's Jesus as the Son. And God is speaking by His Son. Now, you have to remember Jewish theology and their understanding of how creation is. There's an order. And at the top of the order is God. And immediately underneath God, no separation of space for something else to be there, is the angels. And below that comes the rest of creation. Now, for someone to be named Son of God, and we see later that he's pointed out as being the firstborn, as being the heir. Okay, we're just not talking about the angels who are sometimes referred to as the sons of God. We're not talking about priests who were, or the people of Israel who were sometimes spoken of as the children of God. But we're speaking of someone who is in a position higher. Now again, monotheistic, Jewish theology. Above the angels, there's nothing but God. There is one God. You shall have no other gods before you. You're not to worship anybody else. There's only one God. And here's the Son. And He's God. So it's being pointed out that Jesus is God. He's God's voice. He's God's heir. And He's not just an heir for a little bit. Like, how many of you have ever been named in a will and gotten a little bit of something? Well, Jesus is the heir of all things. So He didn't get just a little. He gets it all. Everything. Not just a little bit. Not a lot. Everything. All. All is rather encompassing, isn't it? It's kind of difficult to think about that. Say, He's the heir of all things. He's God's Son. And the Jews, remember, this letter, as we're going to see when we get to the body of the letter, is written to Jewish believers. They're going, okay, there's God, there's angels, and Jesus has to be underneath that. And they're saying, no, Jesus is above the angels. Jesus is God. Superiority of the Son. He lays out that it was through Him that the entire universe was created. Some translations say ages. And the thought here isn't just that it's the stuff, but also the time that was created. So, the past, the present, the future, and everything that's contained therein, Jesus created. That's a pretty hefty claim for somebody to be making, is it not? But that's what he says. Saying that Jesus is also the radiance of God's glory. Now, God's glory was such that when Moses went into God's glory, he came out sunburned. It was so bright. Jesus is the radiance. Jesus is the exact representation of His glory. Not like His glory, or He is the glory, and He isn't just like who God is, but He is exactly who God is. If we look at Jesus, we see God. Now, that's a strong claim to make. However, it's nothing that Jesus didn't claim for Himself. Thomas said to Him, "Lord, we don't know where You are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." How many times have you ever heard that before? But we forget this next part. "If you really knew Me, you would know My Father as well. From now on, you do know Him and have seen Him." See, for having seen Jesus, we've seen the Father. By looking at the Son, we see the Father. And we know that is somewhat true even in people. I mean, if you look at my sons, you see their father. How many of you can tell that my sons are my sons? Yeah. But you wouldn't say they're the exact representation of Me. Because they're each their own individual. And I'm not, you can see my Father in Me, but I am not the exact representation of my Father. Jesus is the exact representation. That's why Jesus is loving, kind, compassionate, righteous, holy. Why did Jesus get upset with the money changers in the temple? Because the money changers were getting in between people who wanted to worship and needed to worship in God. So in His righteousness, He was angry. Because people were being denied access to worship. Yet Jesus went to the woman at the well and offered her living water. He fed the 5,000 plus. That's Jesus. That's God. He is the exact representation of God's being. He is the sustainer of all things by the power of His Word. Wow. Okay, not only did He make everything, but it's because of Him that things keep going. Without the power of God, that's a theological term. It means ain't no more. We're done. It's over. I have no life. Neither do you. Because it's the breath of God in us that gives us life. And God sustains it within us. If He takes away that sustenance, we're gone. We fail. He is the provider of the purification of sins. Now, the way this is said, it's past tense, means that it's already happened, and it's talking about a done deal, not something that needs to happen over and over again. This is, we'll see later in Hebrews, something that's really brought out where the temple was brought up and the priesthood and the fact that the sacrifices that the priest had to do was time and again, each time. Each year had to be a new sacrifice, but Jesus went and He did it. He brought purification for sins. He provided it. Please note, He provided it. We still have to receive it. He has provided it. We need to receive it for ourselves. He provided that purification. Not just the moving away or sliding off of sin, but the very removal of it, and, if you would, cleansing and destruction of that sin, so that it is no more. And then He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. Wow. How many of you are familiar with the proper etiquette with God in His presence? If God's standing, are you supposed to be standing or sitting? Stand up. How about a king? The president. The president's in the room and he's standing up. Everybody else is standing up. You don't sit down in the presence of the president. How much more God? Yet, you only sit if you're invited to sit. Jesus sits at the right hand. Now, there's a couple things that does that. One, that shows that the work that He's done is over. He's resting now. He can sit. Two, He's in heaven. Three, He's sitting at the right hand of God. That means He's God's advisor. Well, who advises God? Nobody advises God except God. One that sits at the right hand has His authority. That's Jesus. So thus He is indeed superior to the angels. He is superior to all. The writer of Hebrews has laid out without a doubt that Jesus is God. There is no way a Jew, believer or non-believer, could read this section and not see the claim of divinity. Not see that the writer of Hebrews is saying Jesus isn't just the Word of God. Jesus is God. Jesus is not just a Son of God. He is the Son of God. He is God. He is the one who is supreme and over all. He is far superior to the angels. He is as much superior to the angels as the name He has inherited is superior to theirs. George, what's your name? Butch, what's your name? What's your son's name? What's your dad's name? A lot of people named George. And we kind of, so to differentiate, we've thrown Butch on you. You've had been called Butch for a long time, not just by people here, but in your family and whatnot. And when I grew up, my dad's best friend's name was Bruce. My uncle's name was Bruce, and my name was Bruce. So for a while it was Bruce Henry, Big Bruce, and Little Bruce. For a little while, I didn't mind Little Bruce. Then I got older, and I kind of like Little Bruce. I'm no longer quite so little, so it doesn't fit me anymore. I was skinny and small at one point. Don't have to trust me on that. But we use names not to identify so much the essence of somebody, but we do maybe throw that tag on there, little Bruce. I was the little one. But they're just a tag and a way to identify. The way the people of the time of the writing of Hebrews looked at names is the name was who you were. Now, there's a lot of people and groups out there that think that somebody's name has mystical or spiritual import. And there's things that talk about, you know, your true name, and you know, when there's other people that they get a secret name when they join different organizations. So names have to do with that. See, the name is who they are. God uses this in different places. Jesus literally means the Lord saves. That's who He is. It's what He is. And that's what they saw a name being. And they also added onto the name those identifiers that said, you know, I would be Bruce, son of Charlie. That's George, son of George, son of George, son of George. Because names meant something. They weren't just, didn't matter what the name is. Names are important. And we see that He became as much superior to the angel as His name, as the name He has inherited is superior to theirs. What's His name? Jesus. The Lord saves. Son. God. I have the tithe that I got for pastor appreciation, along with the other tithe. This one is the names of God. Just by accident, I put that on. But Jesus, His name and who He is, every aspect of Jesus is superior to the angels. Again, remember Jewish theology. The angels are the ceiling. The only thing above them is God. And that's Jesus, too. So the writer of Hebrews is making some very, very strong claims and laying it out and saying, this is who Jesus is. And people, the writer of Hebrews was telling us the truth. This is who Jesus is. I'm going to hold off till next week to go through how much more He is superior to the angels that we see Him laying out in verses 5 through 14 here. But this week, we need to look at this introduction and recognize that when we speak of Jesus, we're not just talking about anybody. We're talking about the One through whom all was created. And you're talking about the One who sits at the right hand of the Father. We're talking about the One who stands to inherit all of creation. We're talking about the One whose name and whose actions really have brought us salvation. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that You have shown us the reality of Your presence, that when we speak of Jesus, we're not just talking about anybody. We're talking about You. We're talking about Your exact representation. That when we look at Jesus, we look into You, Your eyes. And that when we accept Jesus into our heart, we bring You into our heart and lives. So, Lord, might we hold tightly onto You and follow You strongly each and every day. Lord, make real in our hearts and lives and in the way we speak and treat You in Your name, Lord, the reality of who You are. Make it real to us. Give us this understanding. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'll stand as we close by singing